Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Number One Baseball's Off the Bat. I'm Jana, and not joined by any co-hosts this week. Jeff and Eric are both off this week, traveling for work and dealing with some family matters, so I'm flying solo tonight. Don't you worry, though. I have plenty to talk about. We had a great week this week in the wide world of baseball. Some phenomenal streaks going on. We had a no-hitter, some history made. We get to talk about a bald eagle landing on a guy. This is going to be a good night. So we have plenty coming for you. If you have anything you want to add to the show, you want to, you know, talk to Eric and Jeff about the fact that they can't show up tonight and I'm flying by myself here, or you just want to talk about your favorite team, talk baseball, we are more than happy to do that all week long. You can find us all over social media. Our hub is number1baseball.com. That's where you can find links to everything, including past episodes, in case you missed something, because really, you don't want to do that. Not only do we talk about everything from the week that was, but we take a look at a historical streak as well. So there's plenty of good stuff in the archives if you missed out. You can also find us on Instagram at Off the Bat, on Facebook at Number One Baseball, and on Twitter at Number One Baseball with the numeric value 1 in the name. And from there, you can always find our personal accounts as well. There's plenty of good stuff there. As I talked about in previous weeks, we do keep the show Instagram and Twitter pages up to date with all kinds of weird things, like we were putting up the Brandon Belt at-bat where he had that 21-pitch record-breaking at-bat. And some other good stuff going up there. And every day on Twitter, we are tweeting out your Beat the Streak picks because this show is all about streaking. And you know we love to do that. So every day we give you two picks. Some days you double down, you get them both. Usually at least one of them is a good one. Take your pick. But they're out there. They're ones that are not on the front main page of the Beat the Streak app. So, you know, take your chances. Try to gain some ground on people. And if you've got suggestions, send them our way. We're always happy to talk. So let's take a look this week. Let's start from the top, the usual place, win streaks. Everybody loves a good win streak, and the Yankees are on a tear right now. Of course, they are playing their always, always good rivals, the Red Sox. We haven't got any fights yet this series, but it's still early. Currently, the Yankees are working on win 8. They've won 7 in a row, and I know this was supposed to be a rebuilding year, but what did that last, all of 10 minutes? Every day it's somebody else hitting a walk-off. Most of the time it's a home run. This is a really feast or famine team. It's built on power. The pitching has shown up for the most part of late, but I do worry that with a team like this, the way it's built, how streaky it can be. We've seen some ups and some downs. If Jeff were here, I'm sure he'd be advocating for how great this lineup is and the Baby Bombers and this and that. But if I'm a Yankees fan, truly, I'm a little worried because you can't sustain this kind of power all season long and you can't win every game on home runs. Your pitching's got to show up. Your fielding's got to look a little tighter. And, you know, every now and then you might have to play some small ball. You got to win those 1-0 games, those 2-1 games. And I don't know if it's a team that's built to do that yet, but time will tell. Right now, they're happily hitting home runs like there is no tomorrow. Giancarlo Stanton finally woke up. He's having a pretty nice night tonight already. But we'll keep an eye on it. And then on the flip side, our losing streak tonight, sticking in the AL East, the Baltimore Orioles. Now, we've talked about them a little bit on this show previously in weeks past. I'm looking at you, Chris Tillman. You did finally get your win, but things have not gone well for Baltimore. They're currently on a 7-game skid, and there is not a lot going for them right now. Not only are there some pitching woes, we're going to talk about Dylan Bundy and some history he made a little bit later in the show, but injuries, you had Adam Jones going down. It looks like Jonathan Schoop's coming back off the DL, which will be a big thing for them. You know, you may not buy in, but he's a super utility guy who really is going to kind of drive that lineup. And then there's the ever will they, won't they trade Manny Machado conversation. It's just rough out there. Their pitching top to bottom is not looking strong. And like I said, we'll discuss that in a little bit more detail here shortly. Also, just a note, we have talked in shows past. I know Eric and I were talking about this last week and the week before with Jeff. But the Minnesota Twins, the yo-yo season is continuing. Now they're on a 5-game win streak. You know, we were talking about them before with win streaks and before with losing streaks. It's just, I can't make heads or tails of this team. Right now, their bullpen is phenomenal. They're really bringing it. And again, it's a lineup. You look through this lineup and it's, you know, we've talked about Brian Dozier previously and the hit streak he went on, but it's not a stacked lineup. It's kind of, you know, a utility guy you want to put on your fantasy team at every position. It's just not the lineup you'd build to be a winning team, but right now they're hanging in there. I can't really make heads or tails of which direction this team's going to go, because every time I think I get it figured out, they go and they lose 7 games, or they go and they win 5 in a row. And it's just, I don't know what to do. Twins fans, talk to me. Let me know what's going on here. But there's a lot of injuries. There's a lot of guys who just haven't quite panned out or are just right on the cusp of being something great, but just never seem to kind of take that next step. So I'm confused by the Twins. And, you know, I think that's probably a theme that's going to continue. That is certainly going to be a streak this season. So we're going to keep an eye on them. I don't know. The AL was particularly streaky this week. I think we can safely say that. Let's take a look at hit streaks. Now, we got some good ones going. Last week was a little disappointing. We had a lot of guys kind of falling off the radar. Unfortunately, Carlos Correa and Christian Villanueva, who we were talking about last week, did not make the cut. Here we are. But Wilson Ramos, back in the equation, he's up to 15 games after last night, and Andrelton Simmons is not far behind at 12. A distant second, you're looking at Francisco Lindor, guys like Brock Holt, who just finally came off the DL, both sitting at 9 and 10 games there. So for me, a nice mix of names. I like seeing, Wilson Ramos as a catcher, love seeing that. Andrelton Simmons, we've talked about previously. I'm a big fan of his, just not only as a player, but a fantasy player as well. He's at the top of that lineup, and he is so consistent for the Angels. He just goes out every day, and he's on base. that's what wins games. So for the two of them to be sticking around, I like it. I think they are names that we're going to continue to see, particularly Andrelton Simmons, all season long. I like seeing that Francisco Lindor is finally starting to wake up. That Indians team who we've seen such greatness out of in the past, and I know we talked about them. I think on the first show of the year, we were talking about those regular season win streaks and that great one they had. But there's just a lot of guys on that roster who are underperforming. You could almost look at that entire Indians roster and say as a whole they're underperforming, which, they're getting off to a slow start. I think they're going to recover. I think things are going to get better. But right now, maybe this is finally the turning point. I know a lot of fantasy owners were a little disappointed with some of their draft picks that were Indians players, but we're getting there. We're getting there slowly but surely, guys. Remember, it is still only the beginning of May. We got a lot of season ahead of us. Unfortunately, for some teams, things already don't look great. We talked about the Reds last week, and we'll talk about them in just a few minutes as well. But I don't want to jump too far ahead. Let's take a look at our weekly Edwin Diaz check-in. Not the news you want to hear for Mariners fans this week. He finally blew a save on Saturday after 12 straight, after perfection for a month and a half. He finally did it, finally blew a save. I think he's going to be all right. I think the Mariners will be all right. But finally, we're going to mix it up a little bit here in this streaking saves category. Wade Davis is sitting pretty with 9 straight saves. And then if you want to look at Brad Boxberger, this really all depends how you interpret a streak. Now, is it perfect in save chances? Because then Brad Boxberger is going to sit at the top of this list. He's 11 for 11 in save chances and was just named the Diamondbacks closer this week. But he did pick up a few L's along the way, took a couple of losses in the mix here with these saves. So Wade Davis has a clean 9 saves here. So to me, that puts him at the top of this list. Brad Boxberger, however, if he is still available in your fantasy league, you run, do not walk, and go pick him up. His stuff is for real. That Arizona Diamondbacks team is not going away. And, he's out there in like 25% of leagues still as of last night when I was looking at this. Go pick him up. And if you're playing in my leagues, He's already gone. Don't waste your time. like I mentioned before, I want to talk briefly about the Reds. Eric and I had a nice chat about them last week about how there are just guys on that team who underperforming may not be a strong enough word for it. We were talking about the Billy Hamiltons and the Devin Marascos of the world, who the Reds had sort of put all of their hopes and dreams and their future on, who just hadn't really gotten over that hurdle and become stars at the major league level. Well, it looks like Devin Marasco is not going to have the chance to do that as a Red. However, he's going to have the chance to do it as a Met. The Mets and Reds traded, swapped Matt Harvey for Devin Marasco the other day. Obviously, if you have been living under a rock, Matt Harvey was pulled from the rotation, sent to the bullpen, did not want to be demoted to the minor leagues, and normal Mets ensued. So they shipped him down the hallway during a series with the Reds earlier this week. For the Mets, I mean, I guess it's a good move. I don't know how you can really say like you want to trade when you're giving up someone who has a ceiling as high as Matt Harvey does, but it seems like that situation had become toxic. It wasn't working for either side. I don't know if it's Matt Harvey needed to get out of, the clubhouse or the city of New York and get out of that party environment and kind of buckle down and get back to form, or if, the injuries had piled up and maybe he just wasn't the pitcher he was anymore. It's hard to say because, as things tend to happen with the Mets, it blew up rather quickly. So I'm interested to see how he fares in Cincinnati. I can't imagine that the win-loss record is going to improve substantially because, as we talked about last week, the Reds are on a historically bad run to start the season. Things do not look great. But that pitching staff, there was nowhere to go but up. And Matt Harvey is going to be an improvement for them. It's just what Matt Harvey shows up. What's he going to look like by the end of the season? Can he stay healthy? Is he going to have a good attitude? I don't know. Neither do the Reds, but I guess they figured it was worth taking a gamble since Devin Marasco hadn't necessarily panned out the way they wanted him to. And boy, did the Mets need a catcher. They have spent several years without a real stalwart behind the plate, and I think that, could be argued is the root of a lot of their issues. You need that field general. There's a reason so many catchers are going on to be managers now, and that's kind of the hot hire. It's because the catcher is the general of the infield. He sees everything in front of him, and it gives him such a better understanding. If you have a great catcher, your team can overcome things. You can scrap and find a way and win some of those games that maybe you weren't gonna if you just had, I mean, I don't want to throw anybody under the bus, but if you had a mediocre catcher behind the plate, that makes a difference. And that's one of those intangibles that maybe a casual fan doesn't see. But obviously, if you're here, you're not just a casual fan. We're talking about streaks and stats. And you know what? I think this is a good move for the Mets. For the Reds, I'm not necessarily sure this is going to maybe move the needle enough that they need it to. But they'll probably sell a few more tickets, and maybe that's enough. Maybe you win a couple more games. I don't know. But either way, you got an attraction, so that's probably a win for them. So maybe it's a wash. I guess we're certainly going to see how it plays out. While we're on the bad news bandwagon here, let's take a look at Dylan Bundy. As I alluded to earlier when we were talking about the Orioles, pitching woes are a real problem for them. We had been talking about Chris Tillman in weeks past. This week, it is Dylan Bundy. He was their opening day starter. Let's just all remember that before we get into this. He had a real tough Tuesday. If you're listening to this live or you're listening to it pretty close to live, obviously Tuesday was yesterday, and the Orioles still trying to figure out exactly what happened here. He started yesterday's game, threw 28 pitches, got no outs, faced seven batters, gave up four home runs, and seven earned runs. That is not a stat line you want. Your WHIP is roughly infinity. Not a good look, especially for the quote-unquote ace of the staff. Dylan Bundy, who, if you're a baseball fan, you've known about for years, you've watched him come up. He was a big-time call-up, somebody that the Orioles are planning to build around. Yesterday, not a good look. He became the first major league pitcher to give up 4 home runs without recording an out. This is basically the Orioles season in a nutshell so far. You have something great, put it out on the field. On paper, this looks like it's going to be a good thing, and it blows up. I don't know what to make of the Orioles. They have all of the pieces. Could you use more pitching? Sure, you always could. But something like this shouldn't happen. Granted, the Orioles, a good team. We've seen them go deep in playoffs. We've seen some things happen, World Series, things like that. But the Orioles scored 10 runs in the first inning yesterday against the Orioles. Obviously, they won that game. But I just don't know how you describe a performance like that. Hopefully it's forgettable. Hopefully this is a blip on the radar for the Orioles. It's something that, you know, is a trivia question for Royals fans in bar trivia for years to come. But if this is something that continues the way it's going for the Orioles, they're going to have a bigger problem. Trading Manny Machado is just going to be the tip of the iceberg of things they need to do. But they need pitching in the worst way. I don't know how someone that good goes out and just throws batting practice. That's what he did. He went out and he threw batting practice yesterday. Unfortunately, it wasn't batting practice. So, yikes. Hopefully we're not doing Dylan Bundy watch the way we were with Chris Tillman, but only one way to find out for sure. I guess the next segue here, let's look from one historically rough performance yesterday to one historically awesome performance yesterday on the mound. And I'm talking about James Paxton, the Mariners pitcher who threw a no-hitter against Toronto yesterday. Now, this is awesome for a number of reasons. First off being, he's Canadian. His nickname, Big Maple, which, love that. But he, yesterday, wasn't overwhelming. He wasn't phenomenal. It was something where he had a couple of good breaks and he had some good stuff and it was his night. And old Big Maple went out and in 99 pitches very quickly with just 3 walks, which all came in the first 4 innings, he really settled down in that second half of that game and grinded out a no-hitter. He got some huge plays from Kyle Seager, D. Gordon, and Ben Gamel to preserve the no-hitter. You know, we've talked about on the show in seasons past how every no-hitter, every perfect game seems to have that one defining play, that when you talk about it, that's what comes to mind. When they show the highlight, that's the highlight reel catch. And I know right now you're sitting there probably doing the same thing I am, picturing those Matt Cain no-hitters and those diving catches and, you know, the almost no-hitters, the Armando Galarragas of the world where things maybe didn't go so well, but there's always seems to be one defining play. In this one, you really had 3. I mean, that I don't know how I can pick out of those 3. And if you haven't seen these highlights, you are doing yourself a disservice. They are 3 phenomenal plays. But James Paxton, like I said, settled down in that second half. He actually threw his last 3 pitches of the game were his fastest on the radar. He hadn't thrown a complete game before in his career. This was his first, a real good time for it. It is the third no-hitter of the season. All 3 have come in different countries, weirdly enough. Obviously, last night in Toronto, the Dodgers threw a combined no-hitter earlier this week in Mexico. And when we spoke about previously Sean Manaea, it was in the United States. So we've really just taken the whole North America continent by storm with no-hitters just in the first 6 weeks of the season, and I'm not mad about it. I don't know if that means we have to shut down no-hitters until next season, until we start conquering some other countries, but with the rate, like we talked about last week, that games have been going into the 6th and 7th inning with no hits, the amount of no-hit bids that we've had, I don't think we're going to be done at 3. I just have this funny feeling that there's going to be more coming this season. And the way some of these guys are pitching, we'll talk about Max Scherzer in a few minutes. They might be coming sooner than we think. This could be a season where we get very spoiled as baseball fans. And really, I'm not mad about it. Other fun facts out of this. So, as I mentioned, Seattle won 5-0. Toronto, a good lineup to shut down. I mean, this Mariners team, and we've been talking about it with Edwin Diaz throughout the season, they've sort of, I mean, I don't think anyone predicted that they would be as consistently good as they've been this season, but I've really enjoyed watching them play. I mean, they've got hitting, they've got pitching, they've got a bullpen. They're great in the field. This is a really, like, a sneaky kind of sleeper team, if you will. I can see them going pretty far. But a couple other notes on James Paxton before I go too far off on this tangent. He is just the second pitcher to strike out at least 15 in one start, and then in his next start throw a no-hitter. You know the last person to do that? Max Scherzer. We'll talk about him in a minute. But his last start out, James Paxton went 7 strong, struck out 16. Not too shabby. And then you come out, I don't know what he's going to do next start. Maybe throw a perfect game? Maybe hit a, somehow get himself, even though he's on an AL team, into the lineup and hit a home run? I just don't know, but I'm excited to see. You may remember, even the casual fan, you actually have encountered Paxton before this season. You might not have realized it, but it's so ridiculous. But the first week of the season, he was the guy standing out in the outfield in Minnesota who had a bald eagle land on him before. I didn't know I would get to a point in my life where I could talk about a bald eagle landing on another human being and it be in a real serious format. Like, this is real life, and I love it. But yes, before his start against the Twins April 5th, bald eagle landed on him. The two phenomenal quotes about this. In the pregame, I guess the eagle, who had never gotten confused before, thought maybe he was the trainer and tried to fly back to him. Paxton was quoted as saying, "I was just standing there trying not to panic. I wasn't going to run. I figure I'm not going to outrun an eagle, so we might as well just see what happens." I can tell you this with 100% certainty. If I'm standing anywhere and a bald eagle is trying to come at me, I am not just seeing what happens. I'm freaking out. The fact that all he did was kind of duck as it flew near him, and then it landed on his shoulder, and he just remained very calm about the whole thing, he deserves some kind of medal, because I can't imagine how terrifying that is. But his teammate Fernando Rodney, hands down the best quote about it, said, "When I saw that, I said, wow, that's baseball. A lot of things happen." Fernando Rodney is just, he is the Manny Ramirez of baseball right now. Just out there catching snowflakes, hanging out on the field, just making the most ridiculous claims and quotes about baseball. I cannot tell you how much I enjoyed reliving the bald eagle incident, because I loved it when it happened. I couldn't find a way to get it on the show because really, like, that was a tough one to wedge into the streaks. But I mean, James Paxton's got to be the first person to have a bald eagle land on him and throw a no-hitter in the same season. I think that's hard science. If you have not seen it, and I can't understand how you haven't at this point, it is up on our Instagram. Go watch the video of the bald eagle landing on him. It's going to make your whole day. Happy Wednesday. You're welcome. And as I mentioned, Max Scherzer doing great things. I actually was at this Nationals-Phillies game this weekend. As I think I've mentioned on the show before, I recently was relocated for work down to the D.C. area, and the pollen did not kill me yet, but damn if it's not trying. So the only way to really feel better if you feel awful is to go watch baseball, which I did twice this weekend, this game being one of them, and got to see a phenomenal pitching matchup between Jake Arrieta and Max Scherzer. Scherzer made history striking out 15 Phillies in 6 1/3 inning. That is the most strikeouts in 19 outs or fewer. He threw 111 pitches and got the no decision. Believe it or not, sitting there, Jake Arrieta actually looked better. It looked like, I mean, obviously Scherzer's stuff was pretty filthy. He struck out 15. At one point, he recorded 12 consecutive outs via strikeout. And he looked good, but Arrieta looked just as good, if not better. He lasted longer in the game, and he really deserved to get a win. Both of them did. Neither one of them really deserved to lose that game. But Max Scherzer is on fire. That was his fifth game with 15 or more strikeouts, four of them coming since he came over to the Nationals. And like I said, he got 12 consecutive outs via strikeout. Granted, he did put a couple of guys on base in that time, but that's the second longest streak in the majors of outs recorded via strikeout consecutively. Just think about that for a second. That is four innings worth of outs just on strikeouts. I can tell you the fans were a little restless because unless you really appreciate a pitcher's duel, it was kind of a tough game to follow. I know people I was with there maybe didn't have the most awesome time for a few innings because it was just a lot of swings and misses. But things picked up there at the end. Sorry, Phillies fans, it didn't quite go the way you wanted, but a great game, I will tell you. And Max Scherzer is the real deal. Like, I just, whew. Oh, I just, I don't know what to tell you other than he is dominant. And Jake Arrieta looked just as good. I know he's had a couple of rough outings here with the Phillies, and we'll talk about the Phillies more in just a minute. But he's getting his stuff back. He really is. And I had the pleasure of seeing one of the Nationals minor league teams this weekend. I got to see Anthony Rendon on a rehab assignment and check out one of their top prospects, actually one of the top 25 prospects in baseball, their right fielder Juan Soto, who is phenomenal. Don't sleep on him. Believe me, you're going to be seeing him up in the big clubs sooner rather than later. He is the real deal. But it was a solid week of baseball. Got to see some history being made, and I'm pretty hyped about it. So we're going to have more of that coming down the pipeline. But let's take a look at the Phillies here just for a minute. Like I said, Arrieta looked very good. This Phillies team overall, I know coming into this season, not high hopes. They were ready to burn the stadium down after that first game with Gabe Kapler and all those pitching changes. Things did not look great. But man, have they rebounded. The Phillies sitting after last night at a 20-15 record. They were a half game out of first behind the Braves, which the Braves, right? But this is a team that right now they're pitching. Their bullpen really needs a little bit of work. Some of that is due to injuries. Some of that is Gabe Kapler can't win here. You leave a guy in, he's going to walk in winning runs. You make six pitching changes, the world still falls apart. They need to figure that out. They certainly have to shore that up. But they have a team who, on paper, does not look like an all-star team, but they're putting things together. It's a very young team, and they maybe don't know they're not supposed to be as good as they are right now, but if they can keep this going, I know I made some big claims at the beginning of the season. I think they're going to be an above 500 team, and they're going to surprise some people. And so far, it's happening. Let's talk just briefly about Odubel Herrera, who has a 37-game on-base streak dating back to last season. He has been on base in all 32 games this season. That's closing in on a pretty substantial streak here. The last person to start a season with a streak of that magnitude was Matt Holliday, 45 games back in 2015. So he's in some pretty good company. Again, this is a team where they're hitting home runs, but they play a lot of small ball, and it's a fun team to watch. So if you haven't been watching the Mariners and you haven't been watching the Phillies, you need to get on that now. The Twins, maybe help me figure them out. But I know a lot of you are watching the Red Sox and Yankees tonight. They also made news this week. They're going to play the first London series next year, June 29th and 30th of 2019. Boston will be the quote-unquote home team there. I love this. I love that they're expanding. We've talked about on the show previously. I am all in on these games down in Puerto Rico and Mexico. I think it's so good for baseball, for the spirit of baseball, and these are communities and places that are really feeding into the game, and we should give back. We should help continue to grow that. And with London and, Australia and Japan and places like that are feeding into Major League Baseball, this is something that we should be doing and we should be doing more of. And the NFL and the NBA could really take some notes here. You want to kick off a series, you want to get some people excited about the game, you send one of your best rivalries over. Don't send the Jaguars 3 weeks a year. the Red Sox Yankees, not only is that going to draw money, that's going to draw eyeballs, but it's going to be a series that matters. Those are going to be games that matter. Those players are going to be invested and involved. The fans are going to be, people are going to tune in for that, even if it's, you know, crazy times of day and night. This is exactly how you send teams overseas. You make it not just an attraction because, like, oh, we don't ever have Major League Baseball here. You make it an attraction because it's something that matters. It's something that's important. It's a once-in-a-lifetime thing for some of these people. It's like going to the Super Bowl. This is what you do to grow your game. This is how you bring fans back. This is how you keep feeding into the game. Think of all those little kids in London that are going to see, are going to have a chance to go to this game, or they're going to just be able to be excited about it being played in their backyard, in their country. They can take that pride in it, and they're going to play baseball. They're going to follow baseball. This is something that's huge for the game, and I love it. I can't tell you enough how excited I am for it. I don't necessarily think we need to bring the fist fighting, but I'm not mad about it. I like seeing the rivalry matter. I like seeing guys invested. But I think, you know, I think I'm excited about it. I want to hear what you guys have to say. I did not do a historical streak this week just because, A, we had plenty to talk about, and B, part of the fun is having Jeff and Eric here to tell me I'm crazy for thinking that the streak can be broken in modern day times. So we will pick that back up next week. We'll be back next week with hopefully our full cavalcade of stars. But we will certainly be here regardless from 9 to 9:30 next Wednesday night, as we are every week. And like I said, we are here for you all week long, all over social media. Check out number1baseball.com. That is the hub for everything. And like I said, keep your eye there. We are relaunching the blog. There's going to be some really cool content coming. You're going to get to meet the faces and voices, I guess, behind the show. Jeff and Eric and I are going to be giving you kind of like a little get to know you behind the scenes into our lives. We've got some cool content coming as well for the blog overall. So get excited for that. Keep an eye on it. And if there's something you want to see, you want to see us write about, you want to hear us talk about, you want to talk to us about, like I said, find us there. We are more than happy to talk baseball with you all day long. So thank you so much for joining me tonight and hanging in there with me while I talk to you for just over half an hour straight. I think we got a lot of good stuff in this week. I'm hyped about what's coming up this coming week. We have some phenomenal series going on right now. So there's going to be some great streaks. I'm not sure how we can top a bald eagle landing on a Canadian and three no-hitters in different countries, but we're going to try. So thanks again for sticking around with me tonight, and we will see you next week. Have a great week, guys.